Jesus. Before you take your seats, please take your seats. What a testimony, what an absolute joy that God gives this thing called life. And Jesus said, he said, I've not just come for you to have life. He said, I want you to have life and that more abundantly. So there's an abundance of life. Touch your neighbor and tell him there's an abundance of life. There's something for you. Tell your other neighbor, there's something for you. Don't ever give up. That's another important thing. That just nudge your neighbor and say, don't ever give up. We've had Scott and Trilcy Chapman staying with us for the last couple of days. Trilcy was on the Healed for Life women's think program there up in Hoddesdon. And it's just been a blessing just to spend some time with Scott. And he says, amen. Scott has the most tremendous testimony about the importance of never, ever giving up.
Amen.
And he said, you know, he said that God's laid on his heart. In fact, somebody prophesied it here for you to write a book. And I said, Scott, make sure if you're going to write a book, I said, make sure that the title is never, ever, 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 ever give up. Hallelujah. Because that's a very, very powerful testimony that you carry. I know God will use it, man. He's used it in my life. Gosh, the talk about the God of the turnaround.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says that God turned the captivity of Job. And you know, to turn the captivity of someone is not just to set them free. Because that's not turning their captivity, that's just releasing them. To turn someone's captivity literally means you set them free and then you bind the other one that had them bound. Do you understand? That's what may happen in your life in Jesus' mighty name. But I want to share some scripture with you. The Lord showed me a scripture this week concerning the anointing that we all know. But when the Holy Spirit shows you something from the Word of God, there's a new freshness comes upon it. And I just want to read two scriptures for you today because we are going in the direction of the anointing of God today. Thank God for the anointing.
Amen.
Wow. Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. I'll start reading. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Why? Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers will stand and pasture your flocks. Foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have double honor, double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. Hallelujah to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's Isaiah 61. I don't even think I need to say anything more. We could just go home straight after that and just rejoice the whole day long. And then Isaiah chapter 10 and verse number 27. I like it in the New American Standard because it doesn't make sense. And when you reach a scripture, if you're reading a particular translation that doesn't make sense, or the Holy Spirit starts to prompt you that there's more to it, it's very important that you study that thing out. Because it means that God's got something for you. And there's one thing I've learned. The things that God gives you, you can build your life on it.
Amen.
No devil in hell can take it away.
Right.
Man can't take it away. In fact, the more they take it away from you, the more God gives it back
Amen.
To you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 10:27, it says, so it will be in that day. What's that day? That's the day of the anointing. That his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken. In fact, in the King James, it says it will be destroyed because of fatness. Now, that word fatness there, that doesn't mean that you go to Burger King and you just eat extra large. May God deliver you from that stuff. In Jesus' mighty name. It's and me, my wife says, yeah. I've been caught in my transgressions already, haven't I? Yeah. That word fatness there, literally in the Hebrew, if you look in the King James Version, it says, and his yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. And in the if you look in the Hebrew, it says this. It says, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the face of the oil. In other words, the oil of God has a face.
Wow.
How many of you've experienced the oil of God before? There's something wonderful about the oil of God. In the natural, we use olive oil to anoint people with, and sometimes they come away smelling of chips, but if it's good oil, they come away smelling of oil. In the natural, it's just chemistry. But in the realm of the Spirit, in the hands of God, it becomes a mystery.
Amen.
God takes it and he changes it from chemistry to mystery. And there's something about the oil. Something about it. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, the Holy Spirit treats the anointing oil of God like a tracking device. When you're anointed by God, something comes on you in the realm of the Spirit. An invisible presence comes. It's like a beacon. And then the Spirit of God himself, he'll notice that thing. And then if there's a job to be done, you're the one he's going to come on to do the job. That's how the anointing works. It's a substance in its own right. It's like a homing beacon for the presence of God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I love the anointing. I know when that anointing's on me. I know when it's around. You can create an atmosphere for the anointing to move. I remember I was in the trade fair halls in Accra in Ghana. And there's something about Ghanaians. They'll pull that anointing out of you. It's amazing. I've never been to Nigeria, so I can't say that about Nigerians. They still won't let me in. I don't know why. But by God's grace, one day I'll get there. Hallelujah. But I was in the trade fair halls and something was in the room. That's the only way I can describe what was there. And this is the thing about the anointing of God. You know when it's there. You know when it's there. Your spirit becomes sensitized to it. And you know when it's there. You know when God himself is ready to do something. And then all you have to do is you create that atmosphere of the anointing. I want to speak to you today as though you are ministers in training, ready to be released by God, because God has a work for you to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got a job for you to do. And for this job, tell him, for this job, you're going to need the anointing. Oh, yeah, trust me. God told me, he said, way back now in 2011, the Lord told me, he said, you're entering the era of every available voice. Every voice that makes itself available to God in any context whatsoever, God's going to use it.
Amen.
Trust me. So you need to get ready. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, open your big gob. Yeah, God has given, look at the size. Now, my mouth isn't particularly big. My son, Benj, wow. When he opens his mouth, brother, he's like, woo. My goodness, he's on the camera, so I better be good to him today in case he shakes it up and down and side to side. There's something about the size of the mouth that God has given you that God wants to use in our generation. Use it in Jesus' name. He needs anointed doctors. He needs anointed nurses. He needs anointed police people. He needs anointed accountants and anointed. Have you ever seen an anointed dustman? You know, the bin men? There's something about the anointing of God. You see, when it gets you in your work capacity, anointed mechanics, Irish Mike, the guy's anointed.
Yes.
Absolutely. And he's a mechanic.
Yes.
He is anointed to fix cars. That's the only way to describe. So you can be an anointed binman. You can be an anointed school caretaker. It doesn't matter what your profession is. What matters is the anointing of God to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. There's levels of pastoring. You know, like I've learned from an early age on in ministry. You know, when we started Harvest Church in 1994, there was three people. That was Harvest Church. And I knew the anointing on me was bigger than what was in the natural. But there's something about the anointing on your life. It drives you to greater things. I want us to do something special today. At the end of the service, if this is okay with these folks, Scott Chapman, Bruce Oliver, Sister Marla, that we will just pray for people and just release an anointing in their lives. There are different, the Bible says, having gifts which differ. He says, let each one release their gift in accordance with the blessing of God on their lives, right? So, for instance, Sister Marla, like she's got this faith for seeing healing. You saw the testimony earlier about the woman in Canada now who has the little baby, where she, I don't know how you do, you just block out the doctor's noise or something. Well, that's what it feels like when she, you know, whatever the doctor says, she says the opposite and it happens. And it's like, so who's the better doctor? One says PhD in medicine. The other one says anointing of God for healing. Hey, hallelujah. And that's what the anointing is like. It will cause confusion in the natural. Joseph was an anointed dreamer. He stands up. And have you ever wondered, right? This is the first ever, the story of Joseph, you know, the coat of many colors and the dreams and all that kind of things and the seven fat cows and the seven skinny cows, right? Now, Pharaoh has this dream. Joseph comes up and relates the dream. How on earth did Pharaoh know that what Joseph was saying was the truth? It's impossible to know. It's the first ever futures contract. First ever financial futures contract. Take 20%. Now, these are the seven fat years. Take 20% of what you've got and put it away, because seven skinny years are coming. People are going to want to sell their houses for any price that they can get. People are going to want to sell their government bonds and just exit the bond market as fast as they can. So now that 20% that you've gathered over the 7 years with interest on top is going to be more than you need to buy the whole market. Hallelujah to Jesus. Futures contract. For any of you that know anything about money, about finance and transactions, it was a futures contract. But there was something that Joseph carried that caused Pharaoh to believe Joseph over all of his government advisors. That's power. That's proper spiritual power. Hallelujah to Jesus. I mean, why would you believe such a man? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. What's your qualifications? Well, slave, betrayed by my brother, my brothers, rapist. Well, as far as they were concerned, he was tried and found guilty, convicted rapist. Imagine, why on earth would you believe such a guy? How long did he do in prison? We don't know, but you know it's several years because the prison was all handed over to Joseph. Why on earth would you hand a prison over to a prisoner? My gosh, that's like giving Barclays Bank. Oh, we won't go there. Oh, Jesus. Man, I've been praying some dangerous prayers. Lord, God have mercy. That the seat of the chief executive would catch fire and it would be such a fire under him, he would have to resign and they won't have a chief executive lasting longer than 5 years in that seat until they give us their money back. Mm. Wow. Hey, wow. This thing's dangerous, man. Dangerous. And thank God for the anointing. It means you can pray dangerous prayers. And a prophet called Elijah walks into the house of King Ahab. Now, his wife was such a witch that she was the high priestess of all the witches in Israel. This was no easy guy. Ahab himself had chariots and horses. In comes Elijah the Tishbite. He says, I'm fed up of you guys. It's not going to rain in this nation until I say. and then he walks out. Imagine. That's proper spiritual authority and power. It's an anointing. It's a mantle. And guys, I'm speaking to you today as though you're in ministers in training, right? So anything you don't understand, you can study out yourself, because I'm feeling this fire today and I just want to release it, right? There's something about the anointing that we don't quite understand yet. There's a spirit of a person. You remember the spirit of Elijah, right? I spoke on that a couple of weeks ago, right? Now, there's the power of Elijah. But then on top of that, there's the mantle of Elijah. Or we would say the anointing of Elijah, right? Look at this. Luke chapter 1. Now, we're going to have to, because like for time's sake, I'm not going to, because I want to release these guys to pray. And also, I mentioned Marla, and that Bruce has a power anointing on his life. Yeah. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that power is miracle power.
Yes.
That's what it's like. It's a sign and wonder power.
Yes.
Scott Chapman has an endure power. I don't know where you get that anointing thing, and also that business anointing. Yeah. That's on you. His testimony, you'd hardly believe it.
That's right.
It's actually unbelievable in the natural. That's how we know it's the anointing of God. So we're going to release them to pray. If you need that enduring thing, and if you need that business thing on your life, I'm going to release Scott to pray for you. If you need Holy Ghost power, if you need miracle anointing, amen, I'm going to release Bruce to pray for you. And if you need healing and just that stubborn faith power, Jesus be glorified, devil run 1,000 miles anointing, then we're going to release Marla to pray for you after the service as well. But getting back to what I was saying, the angel Gabriel comes along to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, and he says, Zechariah, you're going to have a son. He's going to be mighty before the Lord. Now listen to me. He says, you're going to have the spirit and the power of Elijah. That was prophesied over John the Baptist, Luke chapter 1. If you can find it in the box on the system while I'm preaching, then do throw it up on the system. It's Luke chapter 1. And so that this was the angel of God was prophesying. This isn't like, you know, some try me out prophet from somewhere. Do you understand? This is like an angel. In fact, when Zechariah challenged him, you may not know me, but I know you. So let me introduce who I am. He said, I am Gabriel. He said, I stand before the presence of Almighty God. Wow. I didn't come from Euro Disney. Do you understand? I came from the presence of God. And he says, your son is going to be great before the Lord. He's going to go before him. He's going to go in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Those are the scriptures I want, the spirit and power of Elijah. If you find it up front, guys, if you look in your Bibles while I'm talking in Luke chapter 1, that would be so helpful. Because I want you to see something. Because there's a difference between the spirit, the power, and the mantle. Say it, the spirit, the power, the mantle. They're three different things, right? Now, in the last verse of John chapter 10, the Bible says something fascinating concerning John the Baptist. I don't know about you guys, but if an angel came and prophesied that I would have the spirit and power of Elijah, I would want to try it out. In fact, if some toy or D4 came and prophesied that I was going to have the spirit and power of Elijah, I would want to try that spirit and power out, right? Did you find it? Put it up there again, please. It disappeared. There we go. Look at this. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient back to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that's the angel's words, right? Last verse of John chapter 10. If you can go to John 11 and then just turn left. Watch this. Last verse of John chapter 10. I hope it's there now. Last verse of John chapter 10. Oh, 41, sorry. Try verse 41. Look at that. Many came to him. Now, this is many coming to Jesus, right? This is Jesus now, not John. But then look what they said. Many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. Hang on a second. John had the spirit and power of Elijah, but he performed no sign. That would be, dudes, I don't know about you. I would want to see fire come from heaven. I would want to outrun chariots. I mean, you imagine the London Marathon is going on down in London today. And before the starting gun is even, the smoke has cleared, you're at the finish. And they're still at the... I would want that thing, man. This is something. Do you understand? Like raising kids from the dead. Multiplying, you know, what did he say? Your servant has nothing but one handful of flour. And we're going to mix that flour for me and my son. Now, another thing we don't understand about Elijah, he caused the famine that was causing the people to die. Do you understand? I mean, we all think, oh, yes, I want to be like Elijah. Can you imagine the media controversy surrounding such an individual? That you're the responsible for the death of at least 500,000 people in your own country through starvation and famine. Kids dying. I mean, this woman's kid was going to die. We've got nothing but a jar of meal. It's a wonder she didn't say, we've got nothing but a jar of meal and you're responsible. You thief. And now you're coming to take the last thing out of my mouth. Get out of my face. Do you understand? I would want that thing. I would want it. I'm sure many of you would. But look what it says. It says, John performed no sign. The angel of God himself comes and says, I'm sending him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And yet no sign is recorded of John the Baptist except the sign of water baptism unto repentance. That was it. Wow, dude. I don't know. It would be like, have you ever seen an old lady in a Ferrari? That's what it would be like. She's ready to drive. You're not old enough, June. You're not old enough. But you know, like a real old dear, like Bruce's mum. You imagine your mum in a Ferrari. Like, I would be thinking, like, dude, come on, like, shift over, lady. Let's give you a drive. Let's give you the ride of your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Why? Because there's such power available and there's so little of it going to be used. Right. Unless she's going to crash into a shop or something, you know? And that's how I felt reading the script. I thought, wow. And then the Lord said, yeah. He said, you see, there's a difference. There's the spirit, there's the power, and there's the mantle. Or for the sake of this, what we're talking about here, the anointing. You see, the anointing is the power switch for the signs and wonders. So we could read that scripture, Isaiah 61. It says the power switch is on, or the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he has switched on the power. The anointing is what makes you a conduit of God's spiritual power. Elisha did nothing in his life until he called out. Do you remember? He says, where is the God of Elijah? The Bible says, and he took up the mantle and he put it around him. Oh no, he struck the waters with it first. That's right. And he said, bang, where is the God of Elijah? And from that moment on, because he received the mantle, something was different. Something changed. May you receive an anointing today. There's something about it. I'm just going to share just for the next 2 minutes, and then I'm going to release the guys to pray. And there's something about it. Isaiah 61, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news. So all of these things are not for you, they're for other people. The anointing will not work for selfish purposes. There is no such thing. Oh, my wife, I'm going to release you as well for that wonderful healing. You see, if you ever know why I'm so sorted, why I'm so healed for life, and why... She's gotten so excited about Healed for Life, she gives out leaflets at the dinner table to us. No, it's not that bad, but it's getting there, you know, it's getting there. It really is getting there. But I just want to say that because it's so important. There's a lot of things we don't understand about the anointing, and sometimes it can cause confusion, right? The anointing is for other people. You can be anointed to heal others and yet be sick yourself. In fact, you can be anointed to raise others from the dead and be dead yourself.
Yes, it's true.
I can prove it from Scripture. Elisha, do you remember? The Bible says Elisha became sick with the sickness that was to lead him to death. So he was a sick man. He died of a sickness, and yet he was anointed. Right? Elijah died. And for some reason, probably because they thought he would rise from the dead, they left his bones unburied. And the Bible says there was a band of Aramaeans running, and a person died. And they threw the person's body into the place where the bones of Elijah were. Do you remember that? It's about 2 Kings 7 or 8, somewhere around there. The Bible says, and the guy came to life and revived. So now you have a dead man's bones, but the anointing of God is still so strong on them. Now the man himself was dead. Do you understand? But yet he was still anointed. The great healing evangelist, in fact, he was an apostle of healing, John Alexander Dowie. There's a story that on his deathbed, now Dowie was off the scale. You think Sister Marla is out there in relation to, he forbade anyone of his congregation from taking medicine. Imagine. Like, I mean, he was hardcore, God's going to heal you or you're going to die, that's that. And it's amazing. It's amazing how many people got healed. Because when the pressure's on, you know, most of us can believe God. That's the truth, right? And he was on his deathbed. And somebody came in who was dying of cancer. And he blinked at her and she got healed. That's all he could do was blink. Imagine you come in for prayer and somebody goes. Imagine. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. This anointing is powerful. It's the juice that gives life. It's that something comes to life. I was saying to the Lord today, I was saying, Lord, give me a practical demonstration. I'm going to close with this. Brother Jabby, just stand up, please. I've been praying for you over the last weeks and months, and I was praying for you this morning. The Holy Spirit showed me your face this morning and showed me that I should pray for you openly and that you will be, you yourself will be a sign of the blessing of God and the favor of God and the restoration of God on your life. And he told me this. He said, tell him, this is God talking. He said, I will be a father to him and he will be a son to me. He said, and the anointing of restoration that I place upon his life, upon his business and upon his shoulders will be a sign that he entered into my world with nothing. And yet I will restore everything that was taken and give back more besides. He said that you'll dwell, this is how he put it, you'll dwell in a roomy pasture and the blessing of God will be on your life in great measure. Hallelujah to Jesus.